It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. It is Old School, 93.7 Ticket, TicketFM.com. No Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman today. It is his Tuesday day off. Austin Orman with you, though, for the next hour or so. We bring you the return of Outside the Box with the Lincoln Stars Takedown Tuesday, coming your way at 5 o'clock as well. So for the next hour or so, it's Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop. 3 Lincoln locations, 1 up in Omaha. Don't forget, a couple days from now, Fired Up Thursday, and then, of course, Fired Up Friday. Go to themercadobutcher.com. You can peep the menus there. In studio with me, at least momentarily, we got Ellie. Ellie,
just
hello.
For a little
welcome,
bit.
Welcome to Old School.
I haven't been on Old School in a while, so.
You have not? Not since the last Thirsty Thursday you sat in on?
Yeah, and then the last time Jake took my spot, so that was actually so unfortunate.
Well,
I was so upset with him.
We can save a spot for you on Thursday.
Okay, good.
If you're interested.
I would love to be.
Okay.
I'd love to be here.
Okay. Well, we can make it a 2 times a week thing.
Okay.
At least this week.
Okay.
Ellie, you have been one half of the masterminds behind helping our listeners get a chance to win cash.
That's all I want is this. This goes on for, it's where we call it the Cash Blitz. Isn't that such a fun name? I just came up with that off
perfect
the top
for football
of my
season.
Exactly. Cash Blitz, we're giving away $1,000 every single day, 4 times a day for the next 6 weeks.
Not one, not two, not three,
four
times a day.
Four
you can
times
enter to
you
win
have a chance to
$1,000. Ellie, how would they go about entering the contest to win $1,000?
To enter the contest, you can do it one of two ways. You can do it by texting 508-777-1000. And then you're going to text our final keyword of the day to text to this number is sent. Let me spell it out for you. S, not S, C.
Which one, Ellie? Which one is it?
I'm C-E-N-T.
That was backwards. That's backwards for everyone else.
C.
There we go.
Clearly, I haven't been on air in a while.
One more time.
C-E-N-T. Text that to 508-777-1000. Or you can go to our website and click on Cash Blitz up at the top of it. Enter the keyword, enter your information. You have a chance to win $1,000 four times a day. It is so easy for listeners to do. All you have to do is just listen to the radio, listen for the keyword, and that's how you win. Yesterday we had some, The guy that won yesterday was from a different station, but that doesn't mean that anyone from our station can't win. We've had so many people yesterday we had so many people enter the name. You can enter it multiple times a day. This is not like the only chance that you have to win. So continuously, please be texting to 508-777-1000.
4 times a day, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 3 o'clock.
Yes, around
here for
there.
The next 6 weeks.
Yes.
It's always 3 o'clock here during Old School.
Yes.
Cough, other host.
Depending on what's going on throughout the day, things might change a little bit, different hosts, different things, but it should be around the same time every single day for the next 6 weeks. We'll be done with the Cash Blitz on October 31st, so you have some time to win.
If you won the $1,000, which we can't do.
Uh-huh.
We're the hosts. We're not allowed to enter, so we're not stealing entries from
exactly.
you listeners. Don't worry. If you won $1,000, what do you put it towards?
You know, I got one more student loan to pay off. So maybe I would, and it's $1,000 even. So that would be perfect to play that off. But if I was actually like wanting to do something for myself, I would take a trip. I would go somewhere.
Where? You can't just say a trip. You have to have somewhere
I know.
In mind.
Maybe like Arizona, somewhere nice. Today's a little gloomy. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with a little gloomy day. Like it's been really hot, recently. The sun's been shiny, but sometimes a good rainy day with a little bit of severe thunderstorm warning gets me all giddy. I'm like, yes, this is a perfect day to be sitting inside on the couch eating a bag of chips, but we are here on the radio, and I couldn't be more happy.
Truly. Good answer. Good thank answer. You. Ellie, thank you for giving people $1,000.
Thank you very much.
We'll keep going with old school, 402-464-5685. Eric, yes, the Mona Lisa from Parks and Rec GIF is appropriate. That is excellent. Money, please. Yes, enter. Ellie gave you the information. If you missed it, go back and listen again. You get four chances a day to win $1,000 here on 93.7 The Ticket. Lots going on in the wide world of sports. I'm sure many of you have some thoughts on Mike Gundy being fired from Oklahoma State. I know that is going to be front of mind for a lot of people. Interesting name to keep in mind for that opening. Could Nebraska's offensive coordinator Dana Holgorsen make a return to Stillwater? I would be shocked if he didn't at least get a call from the Oklahoma State front office. I'm not going to get into that a whole lot here today, just over the course of the next hour, because tomorrow I'm sitting down with Nick Sainer. He is with me for the first 2 hours of Old School. He and I will discuss that and the other three Power Four job openings, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and UCLA. Which of those four jobs is the most desirable to a neutral party? Did Oklahoma State handle it right? And, you know, other places have problems too. Obviously, we're a Nebraska-based, Lincoln-based sports talk radio station. We talk a lot of Huskers, but sometimes we insulate ourselves in that bubble and we forget that other places have problems too. Other places go through the same sorts of issues. And guess what, folks? It's not just Nebraska. Oklahoma State is having some of the same problems Nebraska has had. Wisconsin is going through a lot of it. Even Illinois, just on Saturday, did something that Nebraska fans are far too familiar with. So, yes, it always hurts more when it's your team, but just know misery loves company, and Husker fans, in some of these ways, you have company. Nick and I will get into that tomorrow. I want to talk about some news in baseball. I know people are going to roll their eyes. People are going to shut off the radio. But you know what? It's still baseball season. It's the last week of the regular season. We got pennant races galore. The Royals are not mathematically eliminated yet. They're not. Six games left to play. They are clinging to the slimmest of slim hopes in the wild card race. I'm going to pull this up just so I can tell you exactly what needs to happen for your beloved Kansas City Royals, my beloved Kansas City Royals, to make the playoffs. Here's the first order of business. Royals got to go 6-0. They got six games left, three of them against the Los Angeles Angels, beginning tonight in Los Angeles. And then after that series wraps up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be on the road against the Oak Vegas Athletics. Sacramento Oak Vegas Athletics? I don't know. Either way, they're playing in, obviously, Sacramento right now. So six games left against the two worst teams in the American League West. Pesky teams. Not great teams. We've seen the Royals get hot before, so they have to go 6-0, but this is the part where they don't control their own destiny. So, in order to trigger tiebreakers that the Royals would need to get into the playoffs, Cleveland, who we'll get to here in just a minute, has to go 0-6, Houston has to go 0-6, and Texas has to go an even 5-1. 4-2 doesn't do it for the Royals, and 6-0 puts Texas in the playoffs. So, if you are the Royals, Texas, their final six games, they have three against the Twins, and they have three against the Guardians remaining. Obviously, as I just said, you need Texas to sweep the Guards, so you need the Rangers to take two out of three from the Minnesota Twins. Should be entirely doable. All right, the Guardians' schedule. Who else do they play aside from the Rangers, you might ask? The Guardians, before they take on Texas, play Detroit. We'll talk about that, the race that materialized out of thin air all of a sudden between Detroit and Cleveland. So you need, if you're a Royals fan, you need the Tigers to sweep the Guards, and you need the Rangers to sweep the Guards. Then the other team there in that mix that the Royals need to go 0-6 would be the Astros. The Astros are at the Athletics, and then after they take on the A's, they will finish the year with the Angels. So, yeah, not looking great for Kansas City just from that aspect alone. Mentioned that Houston's kind of dominated the American League West, aside from Seattle in a lot of ways, right? Texas has had a little bit of success against them, but Houston's done pretty well against the A's and the Angels this year. If you're a Royals fan, you're hoping that does not continue. You need Houston to get swept twice, and then you got to sweep the reverse road trip, essentially, that Houston is doing. So for those of you who have been maybe too locked in on football for your own good, baseball is great. Oh, and by the way, basketball practice opened up yesterday. So coming up in about 10-20 minutes or so, we'll talk with Wilson Moore, beat writer for the Omaha World Herald, about what he saw at Nebraska men's basketball's open practice. But for those of you who have been far too involved in football for your own good and for your health's sake, we got to tell you about what's going on in baseball, because there are some incredible races coming down to the wire, and a lot of races that shouldn't have been races. We'll start in the American League Central, where not that long ago, the Detroit Tigers had a 15.5 game lead over the Cleveland Guardians back on July 9th. Okay, so, you know, month and a half or so ago, Detroit was on top of the American League Central division by 14 games, with the Royals and the Twins both 14 games back. Cleveland, with about 3 weeks to go before the MLB trading deadline, was 15.5 games out of contention. At this point, you're talking about Emmanuel Clase going on the restricted list due to the gambling inquiry slash pro, whatever it is you want to call it. Cleveland was really looking like a team that was going to sell, but they didn't. Didn't buy, didn't sell, pretty much stood pat and lost a top three closer in the game of baseball over the last 4 years. So you begin to think, yep, it's pretty much over for them. Thanks for playing, Cleveland. We'll see you next year. Well, fast forward to today and entering another series between the two, Cleveland trails Detroit by just one game in the American League Central from 15.5 back.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
To one back in essentially a month and a half. In 50 days, they've made up 14.5 games. How about this? According to ESPN Insights, no team has ever lost its division or league after leading by 14 or more games at any point. That is the verge of the collapse for the Detroit Tigers. I still find it hard to believe that a team that owned baseball's best record for a little bit in the Detroit Tigers will finish off the collapse. Number one, yes, they're in an extremely rough patch. Let's get the numbers for you for sure, just to see just how different these two teams have been recently. So Detroit right now is 1-9 in its last 10. The Guardians are 9-1 in their last 10. But how about this? For the season, Detroit's run differential is plus 73, and Cleveland's is minus 9. Cleveland is being outscored on the season still. They're 8 games above 500, and their run differential is minus 9. Detroit, on the other hand, Cleveland's 12 games above 500, if I can do my math right, 12 games above 500 with a minus 9 run differential. Detroit, 14 games above 500 with a plus 73 run differential. There is an 82-run gap in terms of runs allowed and runs scored between the Tigers and the Guardians, and yet just one game separates them in the standings. Cleveland pisses me off to no end. I know we got some Guards fans out there, but and they know this. All the Guards fans I know, I've told this over the last few weeks. Cleveland just irritates me. In a lot of ways, they're a model small market franchise. Think about what they were doing for really the last 10 years. Even the World Series appearance from 2016 and the infrastructure they needed to build that, built on pitching. think about all the guys that Cleveland has developed in the pitching realm between a guy like Corey Kluber. You look at what Trevor Bauer was able to do for a while. Carlos Carrasco pitched pretty well for them for a minute. You get Shane Bieber in that mix. Tristan McKenzie was up for a while and pitched pretty well. And you can just go up and down the list of guys that don't seem like they should be as good as they are, except that Cleveland seems to always get the most out of them. So trying to find their pitching stats. Here we go. Pitching stats. I mean, Tanner Bibee, fine. Gavin Williams, all right. Logan Allen, meh, up and down. But they're all making it work. Slade Ciccone, really? Anyone ever heard of that guy? No. Joey Cantillo? No, that's a guy running a 3 ERA in 22 games started, right? Like, what are we doing out here? How does Cleveland do it? And then you look at their lineup. Their lineup is Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, and who the heck knows? Kyle Manzardo is fine. He's been worth half a win above replacement. Gabriel Arias, I mean, the husk of Carlos Santana before he left. Daniel Schneeman, no. Bo Naylor gets like 4 hits a week. But they're usually all against the Minnesota Twins that go for extra bases and probably extra runs. The entirety of Cleveland's lineup is Kwan, Ramirez, and smoke and mirrors. And they make it work. I don't understand. Cleveland baseball and Wisconsin men's basketball infuriate me because I do not understand. I do not understand in the slightest how either of those teams, those programs, make any of this work. I do not get it. I never have and I never will. Cleveland's pieced together with duct tape, though the wheels are running just because of the WD-40. What is there? I mean, Jose Ramirez is incredible as a baseball player. I mean, that's a top 5 position player in the American League for the last 5 or 6 years. Stephen Kwan is above average, borderline all-star type of guy. And then it's a bunch of riffraff. It's just a bunch of guys, not even dudes, just a bunch of guys running around out there. And they continually find ways to get in the way of other teams. And it's devil magic. It has to be devil magic, right? This is legitimate, like, movie Major League stuff going on out here. And it upsets me because I don't understand how they do it. Maybe I underrate the power of friendship or team chemistry or lineup construction. Or, you know, maybe Stephen Vogt is just that good a manager. I don't know. But come on. How come Cleveland always gets away with this? I'm sick and tired of it. I really am. It annoys me to no end that Cleveland continues to do this year after year, where it seems like the Royals used up all their devil magic in 2014, a little bit in 2015. Okay, a lot of it in 2015. And even a little bit at times last year to get to the playoffs. Cleveland seems to have an endless supply. I don't like it, and I don't appreciate it. That's why there's more of me pulling for Detroit to win the division than there is Cleveland. Because Detroit was supposed to be good. Detroit was so bad for a while. They tanked. They made the most of their draft picks, made some savvy free agent rebound signings. And it makes sense that they were as good as they were. Cleveland, though? Nah, man. No, that's not how this is supposed to work. They're not supposed to be able to keep getting away with this. And yet here they are, one game back with 6 games to play, after being down 15 and a half games in the division, which, by the way, on July 9th, when Cleveland was 15 and a half games back of Detroit, they were 13 games ahead of the White Sox. Cleveland's record was closer to that of the Chicago White Sox than the Detroit Tigers. And here the Guardians sit one game back with 6 to play. I don't get it. Probably never will. Other races across baseball. Royals fans, happy trails to the man, the myth, the legend, the Ferminator, Freddie Fermin, delivers a walk-off for San Diego. And so the Padres clinch a playoff appearance. They walk off the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Milwaukee was the first team to clinch a playoff spot. I believe they already clinched the National League Central. The crew sitting at 95 wins. San Diego just 2.5 back of Los Angeles. I think they have 5 games to play, and the Dodgers have 6 remaining. But good on Freddie Fermin. Really good trade for the Royals, getting Ryan Burgert and Steven Kolek, who look like they could play a role in that Royals rotation for years to come. Padres shore up their catching, which was a major weakness for them. And Freddie continues to just be a dog, a D-A-W-G dog. Shout out Freddie Fermin. Shout out the Friars. A.J. Preller's aggression pays off, and they are back in the playoffs. Out of the playoffs, though, this one is fascinating. The New York Mets, right now, if the season were to end today, before the final six games, the New York Mets would be out of a playoff spot, despite at one point in the season holding Major League Baseball's best record. How about this? The Mets, on June 12th, were on a six-game winning streak and moved their record to 45-24. That was, at the time, the best record in baseball. Again, it's early to mid-June. Still plenty of season left to play. But you have baseball's best record at 45-24, and Juan Soto really had yet to get going. But okay, Mets might be for real. All their free agency cash that they splashed around, it's paying off. It's working. Good on them for that. Okay, it's really a race now between the Mets and the Phillies. Well, since then, since June 12th, the Mets have the same record as, drumroll please, the Chicago White Sox. Since beginning the year, 45-24, the Mets have gone 35-52. They led Philadelphia by 5.5 games in the NL East. And not only did they fall out of the division lead, they have officially lost their playoff position to the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds, 4 games over .500, out of nowhere, the third team in the National League Central, the team nobody talks about. You know how bad the Pirates are. It's weird that the Cardinals aren't competitive. But the Cincinnati Red Stockings are the current holders of the third wildcard spot. Now, of course, 6 games left to play for both of those teams, but they're both only up a game on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Even St. Louis, San Francisco, and Miami are still mathematically alive in the National League. But man, if you look at the Mets, it's so Mets. It is so Mets. That roster from top to bottom, Philly, with the injuries it struggled with, right? I mean, Trey Turner's been out for a little bit. Aaron Nola's been a little banged up and ineffective. Philly reclaimed the division over the loaded Mets. Studs everywhere you turn. Juan Soto threatening to go 40-30. Yeah, Juan Soto has the most stolen bases in baseball in the second half. Yes, that Juan Soto, the guy who takes 4.5 seconds on his average run to first base, leads baseball in second half stolen bases by 4. It's not even like by 1, and it's a technical advantage. No, Juan Soto has 4 more stolen bases in the second half than Jazz Chisholm, 24-20. And yet, despite Juan Soto going Superman and hitting like the superstar the Mets knew that they signed, they've blown a 5.5-game lead, not just to Philly in the division, but their entire wild card cushion is gone. They got to be a game better than Cincinnati from here on out, or the Mets, who had the best record in baseball, will fall out of the playoffs despite the roster that they field. The other thing to get to then, the American League West. What a race that's going on in the AL West. Right now, the leader in the West, the Seattle Mariners. They are 3 games up with 6 to play over Houston. It's over for the Rangers. The Rangers will not be able to win the division. The best they can do is second place. But Seattle is surging 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've won 4 in a row. Houston's lost 3 straight. Texas has lost 7 straight at the exact wrong time for them. Houston was holding on to that division lead for a while. I mean, talk about duct tape. Had nearly a major league record number of players placed on the injured list. They were in first place in the division. Then they cooled off a little bit, and Seattle got hot. Now, of those 3 contenders, Houston has the worst run differential at only plus 17 for the year. Seattle is actually 2nd in run differential in that division, but it's the Rangers who are, you know, guaranteed to finish no worse than 3rd place, but can't finish any higher than 2nd, have the best run differential in that division at plus 82, and the 3rd best run differential in the entire American League, behind the New York Yankees, who are 2 games back of the Blue Jays with 6 to play. They trail the Yankees by, what'd that be, 62 runs, and they trail the Red Sox by, quick math again, by 23 runs. And yet Texas is going to finish no better than 2nd in its own division. The AL West has been incredible to follow over these last few weeks. And shout out the Mariners, going for their first division title since that storybook year in 2001. But of course, that storybook year didn't end the way Mariners fans wanted it to. They lose to the Yankees and don't even get a chance to play for the World Series. Some really incredible stuff going on in baseball. We'll bring you the Royals game tonight and tomorrow. As soon as Houston or Cleveland win a game, it's over for the Royals. But until then, Your Kansas City Royals, my Kansas City Royals, are mathematically alive to reach the playoffs for the second straight year. Colgan J, 0116, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks for tuning in to the Baseball Talk. Stick with us, everyone. We got Wilson Moore of the Omaha World Herald coming up next. He witnessed Nebraska basketball's open practice today. We'll pick Wilson's brain on that and more Nebraska men's basketball preseason topics all coming up on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Orman with you here. We are headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line. That's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local hearts. On that Aloe Fiber VIP line, we have Minnesota's finest, the Omaha World Herald's very own Nebraska men's basketball beat writer, Wilson Moore. Wilson, a happy Tuesday to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I promised you that we would talk Nebraska basketball. Obviously, that's your day job. But you, like I, am a fan of an American League Central baseball team. And I have to pick your brain on this because I just got done talking about it. Are you all in on the Tigers' collapse or rooting against the Guardians because of their recent hot streak?
I would say I'm rooting against the Guardians. I mean, my opinions on various AL Central teams kind of come and go. I haven't really had much of an opinion on the Tigers for really the last decade, just because they've been irrelevant since like Miguel Cabrera's last MVP season. But really over the past like 6, 8, 10 years, I have utterly despised the Cleveland Guardians. They annoy me to no end. So I hope they don't finish this off and that we don't have to go through another round of hearing about what a model franchise they are and how they play the game the right way. So that was a long way of answering your question. Yes, I would rather as funny as the Tigers collapse has been, I would prefer that they make the playoffs and keep Cleveland out of it.
You and I are in lockstep there. And part of the rationale for me is that I can at least understand Detroit. They were irrelevant. They were bad. They drafted well. They developed well. They got their rebound free agent signings. Got a good manager off the trash heap from Houston. No pun intended. Detroit makes sense. Cleveland's whole duct tape, WD-40, and devil magic act is old. It's been old since 2016. And I just like to understand. I cannot understand Cleveland, so I cannot root for them to pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. It annoys me the way they manage to trade their best players and still be competitive. I don't like it when they are good.
No, I completely agree. Okay, to business. Nebraska men's basketball hosted an open practice today. Just simply, what stood out to you from what you got to watch at practice today?
A couple things. You know, those kind of open practices, you don't see a ton. You know, you don't see like them like scrimmage or anything, but you see enough to kind of get a feel for a baseline of things. One guy that stood out to me today was the freshman Leo Curtis. This is going to sound very obvious, but this is my first time seeing him in person. He is tall, like very tall, taller than Rink Mass, taller than Ugnasira Sevichis. Like, he towers over people, even on a Big Ten basketball team. You know, there was one drill where, you know, they would just have kind of two guys just kind of bang it out in the posts until one scored or the other got the ball, and he just kind of went up and over Mast and scored. And, you know, does Mast have the same amount of lift as he used to? Probably not after knee surgery, but there really wasn't much you could do about it. Curtis has about 4 inches on him, and, you know, he was able to just go up and just get a look at the rim, you know, without nothing in his way. He hit back-to-back corner threes in a shooting drill. So I left today very intrigued by Leo Curtis. He's got a long way to go, obviously. He started playing basketball when he was like 15, and Nebraska's a very veteran team, which makes it hard for freshmen to get on the court. So I want to get all that out there so it doesn't sound like I'm like driving the hype train here on like what's he going to do this season. But just, you know, in the limited amount that we were able to watch, he was a guy that stuck out to me of like, oh, like I'm starting to see like what he is able to do and, you know, what he will be able to do more of in the years down the road.
And that comes off the heels of a pretty productive summer playing for Iceland overseas at some U20 tournaments. And that's an interesting spot to jump off. I love that you went there, because we know that promising freshmen like this haven't necessarily stuck around Nebraska for a while, right? I'm going to assume, you know, unless, you know, Rink Mass, you know, re-aggravates the knee, something goes wrong unexpectedly with Oogie or Bearcat, even Jared Garcia, that we probably won't see Leo Curtis. This will be his redshirt year. But Wilson, between him and a guy like Quentin Rimes as a freshman as well, do you have any idea of what Nebraska's plan is for those guys, and maybe what's been the issue not keeping some of those other promising freshmen around Lincoln after their redshirt year?
Yeah, I think it's a little too early to make a judgment on either of those guys, either of those freshmen. You know, I wonder, this is kind of out of nowhere and even a different sport, but with as much as Matt Rhule talked yesterday about how he expected, you know, the 5-5 rule to get passed, I wonder if that would change the plan at all. That's purely speculation on my part, but I think that's a factor, you know, that could potentially come into play. Assuming it doesn't, again, I think it's a little too early, and, you know, it's tough to, I guess, really diagnose what the deal with Nebraska is, you know, with keeping guys around. You know, I think part of it is just, you know, the world we live in, the world Nebraska lives in now, that it's tough to keep a guy on campus for 4 years, you know, between leaving early for the draft or the portal or whatever it may be. It's just, you know, there are less and less guys, which isn't to say it's, you know, uncommon. It obviously there's plenty of it, but who stick around for 4 years? You know, two guys, two freshmen redshirted last year, Braden Frager and Nick Janowski. Nebraska's returning one of those guys this year, and they, you know, have pretty high expectations for him. And I think that's just kind of, that's just the world that we live in now, where, you know, guys are going to transfer, and, you know, it's going to be tough to keep everyone, you know, under the amount of money that a given program is working with, and just, you know, all the other factors that ultimately lead guys to the portal.
You mentioned the name Rink Mast, and that kind of set our text line off a little bit here. One person says, Rink Mast with even less lift sounds concerning because he didn't have much to begin with. I think that's kind of the wrong way to look at it, right? I mean, a big part of Rink Mast's value to Nebraska was that he was more mobile and more athletic than other big men. I guess the opinion part of this, Wilson, is that Rink Mast doesn't have to be an insane elite athlete. He just has to be athletic enough. And so the question then is, do you think Rink Mast looks athletic enough still, or will he be able to get back to that point where he's still athletic enough to be an advantage on the perimeter when Nebraska asks him to be out there come regular season or conference play?
Oh yeah, no question. I thought he looked good today. I thought he moved well today. You know, even before his major surgery back in 23, 24, he wore a brace over his left knee, no brace today. That stuck out to me. He looked a little slimmer, I thought, and I looked it up. He is, you know, this stuff obviously fluctuates, but he's going into this season listed at 250 pounds. He was listed at 260 last year, and I think you can see the difference. He looks a little slimmer, a little more athletic, and no question, I think he's still, you know, honestly, the thing about lift was a certain amount of, you know, like, I don't know what Rink Mast vertical is, but, you know, I just, going off of what Fred Hoiberg said last week, where he's still kind of getting that athleticism back and just, you know, logic that a guy probably won't be able to jump quite as high as he used to, you know, 13 months or whatever it's been post-surgery. But I don't think there's any question Rink Mast, after this time off, is still going to have those traits that made him a very good basketball player, namely, you know, his ability to stretch the floor as a five man, his vision that doesn't go away, his ability to pass. So yeah, I think, you know, just by all indications of, you know, what Fred Hoiberg has said and the things that have come out of that building, that Rink Mast, it's so far so good on him.
We're talking with Wilson Moore, Nebraska men's basketball beat writer for the Omaha World Herald. The other name you mentioned there, Wilson, has been kind of a hot topic over the offseason and even at times last year, Braden Frager. How confident are you that Frager's a legit rotation piece this year?
Yeah, very confident. I mean, I think he's got all the tools that you could want from a sophomore redshirt freshman, really the age of a true freshman. Like, that was one thing I remember, you know, Fred Hoiberg talking about last year, like when he first set foot on campus. He got there at 17 years old, and he was like physically developed, like 6'7". I think he came in at like, you know, around 200 pounds. He said last week he's up to like 215. Now, like, he's got the physical ability. He can shoot it. He hit a kind of ridiculous fadeaway from the corner today after Will Cooper had made a nice play on him on the rim. Frager got the ball back and just kind of turned around and knocked one down his face. It looked effortless. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, gets young guys on the floor and could apply to Braden Frager is that he's athletic and he plays hard. And Nebraska's going to need that. You know, Juwan Gary brought a very specific skill set to that team last year, and they're going to need someone to be that guy this year. They're going to need someone to be the guy who dives for loose balls, you know, the guy who plays hard and plays with emotion. And, you know, I think Braden Frager is a real strong candidate to be that guy.
The other thing I think stands out to me about Braden Frager and a lot of people is that he's local. And this is where I'm going to take a lot about what I said about the Cleveland Guardians and transpose that onto Wisconsin men's basketball. I don't understand how they do it, but they always have that pipeline of those Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, Indiana, Illinois type of guys from around the area that are rotational pieces. Do you think Braden Frager can be the first in that line of guys from the area that Nebraska develops into that? Or do you think he's a continuation of the Sam Hoiberg, Cale Jacobson sort of line of local role players?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nebraska's certainly hoping that he lands into that first category. And he's, for lack of a better word, a dude. And I think he's got all the potential to be. And to your point, that's a good point in that Nebraska hasn't gotten a whole lot of guys like that. You know, guys who had a lot of offers out of high school and chose to stay home over, you know, over some of those good offers. You know, I think Frager had offers from, I know, Northwestern, I believe Iowa State, Iowa. Like, he had some pretty strong, you know, high major offers that he said, you know, he decided he wanted to stay home and play for Nebraska. Nebraska hasn't gotten a lot of those guys. You know, their pipeline in recent years has been more through the portal, especially with local guys. You know, you think of like Sam Griesel or Josiah Alec. That's who I think of as like the consummate, like, Nebraskans to come through this program the past couple of years. Those are guys who you know, started their careers elsewhere, developed, and then came back. So yeah, I think it's a good point you bring up of like, can Frager kind of set that tone and, you know, make Nebraska more of a destination and show, you know, other guys that, you know, this is a viable route. This is a good option.
It seems like Frager's development is going to be pretty key for Nebraska as well, because it's really him and Price Sanford on the wings. Maybe Will Cooper, Kendall Blue seems more in the Bryce Williams mold of wing size, but they view him as a guard. When you just look through the guard rotation, the wing rotation, and the big rotation, where do you think Nebraska's strength is, and where do you think they could maybe use to shore up some depth with some development?
The thing that sticks out to me is that just about everyone on this team can shoot. And that's, you know, wings, guards, big men, whatever, you know, and that's a huge difference from last season. But what it is similar to is 2 years ago. So I think this is a team that fits a bit better, like, within Fred Hoiberg's offense than a season ago. And just they'll be able to do more of what they did 2 years ago, which is spread teams around, you know, they're not going to have a Bryce Williams this year. They're not going to have a guy who averages 20 a game, but I think they've got a little more balance and more guys who can carry the load on a given night. Again, similar to 2 years ago. And when I think of that that most recent tournament team, I think of Minneapolis, the Big Ten tournament against Indiana, when just like five guys got hot in the first half and they just buried Indiana. You know, that Indiana's season was over by halftime. And I think this team, and that was that team at the peak of its powers. And I think this team, you know, has the ability to do that, you know, just when everything lines up right and everything comes together. In terms of, you know, a question mark, I don't know, you know, like, who the defensive stoppers are going to be. You know, Fred Hoiberg has mentioned some candidates. He mentioned Berke Buchtengel, who we know from last year is a solid interior defender. He's also high on Price Sanford's defense, which I don't think was a thing he was that known for at Iowa. But I just wonder, you know, who's going to be, you know, like I said, who's going to be Jawan Gary? You know, who's going to guard the other team's best perimeter guy? Because we know Sam Hoiberg can defend pretty well, but he is not the biggest guy, which makes it hard to match up with, you know, like a 6'6", 6'7", guard. Jamarcus Lawrence is 6'3", another good perimeter defender. So that's my biggest question of, like, who steps up and guards, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question.
I'm trying
because
to think of a good example. You know, he's not there, like Terrence Shannon, which the answer is no one guarded Terrence Shannon.
Oh, no.
2 years ago. But you know what I mean? Like, who guards that guy? When someone's on a heater, who steps up and gets a stop or two?
It seems, too, Wilson, that, like, in some ways, it could just be, can Nebraska finally outscore teams? I mean, that's kind of what Fred Hoiberg was brought to Lincoln to do. I mean, I know you weren't here for this, but Barry Collier into Doc Sadler into Tim Miles was a bunch of slugfest, was a bunch of defense-first sort of mindset coaches, and that's fine. I'm sure, you know, the blue-collar Nebraska fans like that. I'm sure you hear all about and how Nebraska has to play better defense and feed the post and get more post-ups almost as much as I do. But Fred Hoiberg has had that reputation as an offensive-minded coach. Yeah, you know how the first handful of years went, but kind of like Nebraska football, I would love to see a Nebraska men's basketball team that once it decided it was going in on offensive talent, yeah, play enough defense to make it work. But I think it's about time to see a Fred Hoiberg team that averages closer to 80 points per game, you know, somewhat reliably. I know it's hard in the Big Ten, but it's been done before. Why can't it be Nebraska's turn?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of goes back to my point of what I was saying of, like, this is the team that, you know, is a little more well-equipped to do it than last year's team. Last year was, you know, they had some moments where they, you know, just put the clamps down on teams, you know, Creighton, UCLA come to mind. But I think they ultimately, it's like, with for as little shooting as that team had, it left so little room for error. You know, like, if they weren't going to hit shots, they had to really just get down on defense. And sometimes they were able to do that, and sometimes they weren't. I think that, you know, a little more surplus shooting this season just gives them a little more room for error when you need a lot of that in the Big Ten.
Speaking of the Big Ten, Wilson, kind of a bigger picture question for Nebraska. Over the last few years, how much respect do you think Nebraska men's basketball as a program has gained in the eyes of coaches, athletic directors, and just media types who look in at this Nebraska program from the outside in?
It's a good question. I think Fred Hoiberg is certainly respected as a coach. You know, you know, people are well aware of the job he did at Iowa State. Just, you know, the mere fact that this was a guy who's coached in the NBA and, you know, making a tournament at Nebraska is nothing to sneeze at, you know, and like the way that he did it with, you know, with a lot of mid-major transfers two years ago, the way that this, you know, the program is kind of steadily built up to that point. Yeah, I think Nebraska is certainly more respected than it was a few years ago. And I've thought about this a lot. I think a sign of, like, the progress Nebraska has made is, you know, Nebraska goes into a season saying, you know, we need to make the tournament this year. That has not always been the case in the history of this program. And, you know, look, saying it is one thing and doing it is another. But just the fact that, you know, that, like, the ceiling and the bar has been raised, that, you know, just there is just more of an expectation of being competitive, I think, than there was, you know, even just a couple of years, you know, earlier on in Fred Hoiberg's tenure.
And of course, Nebraska can't miss the Big Ten tournament this year. We got that going on. They got all 18 teams headed to the Big Ten tournament. Do you like that decision from the Big Ten?
Yes, I do. I think that's part of what makes, you know, college basketball fun is you go into that last weekend, you know, the week of all the tournaments, and regardless of what has happened, everyone has a shot. I think that's part of, you know, the magic of college basketball. You know, you can have a bad regular season and you can get hot at the right time. I think we all have, you know, like, childhood memories of that kind of thing, and that's what makes it fun. And yeah, and I think just for the conference, I just think it's more fun to have every team there, you know, just make it a true, you know, like, representation and, like, you know, looking for the right word here, but just having everyone there, I think, is ultimately a good thing. I think it fits more within the essence of college basketball.
Tend to agree. That's Wilson Moore of the Omaha World Herald, the Ben's basketball beat writer, joining us here on Old School. Wilson, appreciate your time, man. We'll see you around.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Wilson joined us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. That's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. We'll wrap up Old School, get you set up for Outside the Box. Head coach Rocky Russo of the Lincoln Stars, played by play voice Alex Furin. In, that's it for one short segment of Old School after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Back for just a moment, wrapping up Old School. Big thanks to Wilson Moore of the Omaha World Herald. Good insight there on Nebraska men's basketball. They started practice yesterday. Man, just about a month away from an open scrimmage against BYU and one of the guys in contention for the number one overall pick, AJ DeBanza. A few things to get to here in the last couple of minutes. We'll just give you a quick sort of rundown. First, in college football, some recruiting news from Nebraska. Davion Bonwell-Witty decommits from the Huskers. My sources are telling me this has been in the works for a while. So Nebraska loses a recruit. Davion Bonwell-Witty no longer in the fold for the Huskers. Some national college football news. Oklahoma starting quarterback John Mateer going under the knife tomorrow, having surgery on his right throwing hand. He broke it in the first quarter at Auburn, completed his last 11 passes to help the Sooners win the game. And then it turns out, well, it's pretty hard for that guy to throw. Got his hand hit throwing a pass in the first quarter. He's expected to miss multiple weeks. The next three games for Oklahoma will be an off week this week, Kent State, and then on the road at Texas for the Red River rivalry. Big news out of a Heisman front runner, Heisman hopeful in John Mateer. So that's unfortunate news for the Sooners and really for college football. John Mateer had been balling and was playing pretty well. The other thing I didn't get to in the Major League Baseball segment was that automated balls and strikes are coming to Major League Baseball next year in the same system, essentially, that they have in the minor leagues. You'll have that two-dimensional rectangle from, what was it, like 27% of a batter's height, to like 53% of a batter's height, something like that. Knees to, you know, belly button or so. The two challenges, you win them, you keep them. Otherwise, you lose them, and you're out of it. You get extra challenges and extra innings if you have none remaining entering the 10th. No help from the dugout or any players on the field. Only the pitcher, the catcher, and the batter can challenge a call. So if you've been to a minor league baseball game, that system is what is coming to Major League Baseball as soon as next year. That'll do it for Old School for the day. Tomorrow, me and Nick Sainer with you from 3 to 6. We'll talk some Oklahoma State. We'll talk some big picture college football issues. Maybe some NFL, maybe some Major League Baseball. All that ahead on tomorrow's show. But for now, it'll be a ticket weeknight, starting a little bit early here in the afternoons. Outside the Box with the Lincoln Stars, Takedown Tuesday, and more comes your way next on The Ticket.